Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This show we review Puss in Boots. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie, and our movie today is the Shrek franchise spin-off, Puss in Boots, from DreamWorks Animation.
All that I need are the boots.
DreamWorks Puss in Boots. He's been a bad kitty. Meow.
Well, Mr. Film, it's always a gamble when you spin off a supporting character from a movie franchise or television series and push him into the main character role. And this can definitely work, as we saw with Frasier, the Cheers spinoff, but unfortunately, it really doesn't quite work here. Now, I have to admit, I don't like Shrek to begin with. At its worst, Shrek mocks and warps in a really twisted way every benevolent fairy tale story known to children. And we don't really escape that here with Puss in Boots. Now, I will admit, Mr. Film, that I do like the Puss in Boots character, but the first third of the movie that attempted at a backstory just wasn't very fulfilling. But we finally do get to the point, which is Puss's relationship with his orphan brother, Humpty Dumpty, and we see very different paths that each of these characters chooses for their lives as they're growing up. And that's the most interesting part of this story, because as kids, they're these pranksters. You know, they do petty theft, and they're often up to no good. But Puss at a certain point realizes that he's not necessarily always in the right in doing this. He keeps that rebellious and feline lover attitude while deciding that he doesn't need to hurt or steal from others in the process. But his brother, Humpty Dumpty, is basically your typical pure evil maniacal villain who is really just poison to humanity, or fairy tale livity, or whatever. So the PG-rated 90-minute story involves a plot to steal magic beans, grow the Jack and the Beanstalk to the sky where they can steal the goose that lays the golden eggs, and rake in a fortune. Or something. I just didn't care after a while. The biggest problem is that there's no redemptive quality in the Humpty Dumpty character. So when Puss tries to do the so-called right thing and give him a second chance, which he gives him about 10 second chances, by the way, it's no longer an act of benevolence or giving him the benefit of the doubt. It really turns into a sacrifice and is at times near suicide. But then again, we should expect something like that from a franchise that's more about mocking pop culture and preying on innocent fairy tale stories than is about actually being about something. So, I didn't quite care for this, Mr. Film. There's a couple of funny little jokes in this, but more or less I say skip this. I'm giving it a D+.
All right, Mr. Movie, I think you're being a little harsh here. I sort of like the fractured fairy tale aspect of the Shrek universe. Surprise, surprise. And Puss in Boots is about
you
as
would.
Fractured.
You
as,
would, Mr. It, Film.
Yeah. It's about as fractured as you can get, with tropes about Humpty Dumpty, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Jack and Jill, and numerous other aspects of the fairy tale universe that are thrown here, hither and not. But I am with you about the story, which isn't very charming and is definitely aimed at the kiddies in the audience. It's also needlessly complicated, particularly when the twist in the story is revealed. And I had a few questions about the biological understanding of the screenwriters in terms of the goose that lays the golden egg. I don't want to get into all of it, but I don't think that biologically quite worked. But Puss in Boots' motivation, his motivation at any level, and I'm with you there in terms of his motivation. I particularly didn't get the clear his name aspect, since Puss was a willing outlaw at the beginning of the film, and he is in the Shrek films to a certain extent as well. Since there seems to be a rather big feline community in this fractured fairy tale universe, you think he could just quietly blend in if he just wanted to clear his name, you know, just kind of live in this, you know, kind of off the grid sort of way. But I agree, the story, even on a kiddie level, is just with a couple of sequences that are amusing and exciting. The chase through the desert and the Cloud Kingdom being the highlights for me. I did have a problem with the Humpty Dumpty character. He sort of creeped me out. But I do have to say it was Zach Galifianakis' best role today. Maybe he should just stick with voice work and not be actually on screen. I also like Billy Bob Thornton and Amy Sedaris as Jack and Jill. They were a lot of fun, and I hope they show up maybe in another Shrek story or something. My biggest criticism of Puss in Boots, though, is aimed at the 3D process. Now, I found the film to, I don't know about you, but I found the film to be very dark, and I don't mean in terms of the themes. I mean in terms of light and dark and hard to see. And the 3D didn't really help the matters. Typically, 3D films tend to be a little dark anyway, in my experience. And this was I just had a tough time really kind of following some of the action. Now, some of this could be due to my less than young eyes, but I don't quite think so. Well, I was entertained enough during Puss in Boots. This is definitely something you can wait and see at home and not rush out to see in the theater. So I liked it slightly better. I think maybe I was amused a little bit more than you were. So I'm going to give this an average C+.
All right, Mr. Film. Yeah, no, yeah, I didn't. So I didn't see it in 3D. I opted for the regular version, and I didn't notice. It didn't seem too dark to me. But I do know that there's basically two major technologies with respect to the 3D, and one of them requires a battery. So if you get one of those glasses that's really heavy on your face, and sometimes they don't work, you have to go get a new one. Those tend to make the screen a lot. They darken the picture a lot. So you probably got one of those.
And yeah, maybe.
And there's another kind where it's just like a piece of plastic basically put on your face, and you lose less light. And supposedly the other one gives you better 3D but less light. So there's these trade-offs here. So if you're going to see this, definitely go for the regular version.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, even with the 3D effects, we've talked about it, that 3D seems best suited for animated films. I tend to agree with you on that case. It didn't really do much for me here in terms of the 3D. It didn't really feel more visceral or anything. And part of it is just the darkness of it. A lot of the film does take place at night or in night sequences. I think that also doesn't help as well, because you have stories, you know, at night. It's sort of dark, you know, they're making it kind of dark, and then you have the possibility that the 3D is darkening that a little bit more. So it makes it a little muddy and a little hard to follow. Kids maybe might be able to see it a bit better because their eyes are newer. I don't know, but I wouldn't spend the extra bucks for the 3D. I'd just go for 2D if you are being dragged, kicking and screaming by your 6-year-old to this picture.
Okay. Well, you know, Mr. Film, I think DreamWorks should stick to original stories rather than try to, you know, riff on fairy tales or Disney and whatnot. You know, unfortunately, Disney buying Pixar only sort of pulled down Pixar rather than propping up Disney, which I think they were hoping to do. So I think there's an opportunity here for DreamWorks to really step in and start making, making Disney movies. Or, you know, it used to be said that Pixar was the only one making Disney movies. And I think, you know, if we look at DreamWorks lately, you know, without the whole Shrek stuff, if you take that out and look at like How to Train Your Dragon and some of their other releases as of late, they've really, I think, stepped up the mark in terms of creating really good, interesting stories. So
yeah.
I get the sense that this was sort of we'll do a spinoff. This is for the, you know, to try to make some money at the box office kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the originality hopefully will be saved for an original story coming up soon to a theater near you. So.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, if you really analyze, and I'm not going to bother to do this really, but if you really analyze the story, how it all breaks out, the ending to a certain extent is incomprehensible. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all, and I didn't find certain characters to be as charming as I think they wanted them to be. So I'm with you there. I wish they would make, if they're going to make sequels to How to Train Your Dragon. It's
which they are making, actually.
What's that?
They are making the sequel to that.
Yeah, and I'll be looking forward to that one, because that's a whole series of books, and I think those are kind of do some interesting things with the sequels. So those might be kind of fun. Those might be a lot more fun than just kind of a quick and a more of a marketing sort of sequel like Puss in Boots seems to be.
All right,
that's our show for today. Please visit us at our website at www.moviefilmshow.com or visit us on iTunes and subscribe for free. It's free, so best value for your buck. And if you have any comments, show ideas, etc., please email us at mail@moviefilmshow.com. And with that, I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right, I'll see you, Mr. Film. The biggest problem is that there's no redemptive quality in the Mr. Film character. So when Mr. Movie tries to do the so-called right thing and give him a second chance, it really turns into a sacrifice and is at times near suicide.
Mr. Movie isn't very charming and is definitely a bit aimed at the kiddies in the audience.
Trailer here, etc., etc.
Blah, creepy, creepy, creepy. Please email us at mail@moviefilmshow.com. I don't know why. It's always that is always the hardest part of the whole thing for me. I don't know why. Got the beginning
the,
right.
The email address.
Yeah, the email address just throws me off every time. I could just do a whole chain of me messing up the email address.
The best one was one of the first ones you messed up, where you got the name of the show wrong.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's always helpful.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Mr. Movie, I think you're being a little harsh here. The ending, to a certain extent, is incomprehensible.